thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, good morning. 2003, Robert Stadium, Evansville, Indiana. My life was changed forever because I saw George Strait for the first time in concert. And in your country music moment of the week from 1995, George had this song, and it said, he says, "I know she still loves me, but I don't think she likes me anymore." You ever feel that way about God? Can I just jump right in this morning and just get real, real quick? Without all like the little jokes and things. I know God loves you all. I believe that with all of my heart. But sometimes it's hard for me to know that he loves me. I preached my first sermon. I was 18 years old. I've been preaching the love of Jesus for 24 years. And I believe with every fiber of my being, he loves you. But it's hard for me to accept it for myself. We can get into my family of origin and the psychology of why that may be. But in short, I know how sinful I am. I know my sins, the ones y'all don't see on Sundays. And so for much of my life, when I think about God, I have this image of him almost scowling at me in disappointment, frustration. Several years ago, I was in Oklahoma preaching at a high school youth camp, so hundreds of high schoolers. And right before it was my time to come up and speak, we sang this song. The worship team sang a song that we often sing here, and it goes like this. It says, "I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am." Some of you know the song. And so as we're singing that song, surprisingly and unexpectedly, I begin to weep. And I was singing those words, "I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me." And as I sang those words in Oklahoma, God touched me. He was there. Whoever knew God would ever go to Oklahoma? You know what I mean? Like, there's just tornadoes there. And Toby Keith used to be there before he died, but there's just not much there. But in that moment, I experienced God's love. It was so real, I could feel it. And in that moment, I'm telling you, I had this vision of something that I'd never seen before. For the first time in my life, I saw God smile at me. And like a little boy that just wants his daddy's approval, "Dad, did you see me hit the home run? Dad, did you see me get the A in science?" I felt like for the first time, my father said, "I love you." I wonder how many of you can relate to that. You've read about God's love in your Bible. You've heard sermons about God's love your whole life, probably. You know intellectually that God loves you. But have you ever truly experienced God's love? It's one thing to know about his love. It's another thing to know his love. It's one thing to believe in God's love. It's another thing to feel it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would. We're in week 20 of our study of Ephesians. Today, here's the message from Ephesians chapter 3. God doesn't just want us to know about his love. He wants us to experience it. Would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word? Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to take today and next Sunday to walk through these eight verses, verses 14 through 21. It's a prayer the apostle makes for the church. Here's Paul's prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Next week, we'll focus mostly on those verses. But today, he also prays, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. You could be seated. Verse 14 through 21 is Paul's prayer for God's people. The context is Paul is praying for Christians who are weary, anxious, and discouraged. Can any of you relate? Are you experiencing fear, anxiety, or discouragement? If so, today's teaching is for you. We know this is the context because look at what Paul did in verse 13. Immediately preceding his prayer, he said this. He says, so then I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf. Remember, Paul wrote this letter from prison. He's incarcerated for his faith in Jesus. And so the believers in that region were likely discouraged and anxious because of his incarceration, because they're thinking, if God truly loved Paul, why is Paul in prison? Are we next? So to encourage weak, weary, anxious Christians, Paul's solution is to fervently pray that they will know and experience the deep, deep love of Jesus. And we know Paul prayed fervently and passionately and zealously because in verse 14, he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father in prayer. When we are desperate, we get on our knees before God in prayer. Sometimes life is so hard, you can't pray standing up. You got to get down before your Father. And so Paul is on his knees, desperately praying for these weary Christians. And so what does Paul see to be the remedy for fear, discouragement, spiritual apathy, spiritual fatigue, depression? What is the solution? Right in the heart of his prayer in verses 17, 18, and 19, three times, Paul prays the same thing, that they would know the love of Jesus. The greatest medicine in the world for a hurting heart is the love of Jesus. In verse 17, I pray that you, believer, being rooted, that's agricultural language, being rooted and firmly established in love. So Paul says he wants God's love to be the soil in which our life is rooted and the foundation upon which our lives are built. That's why we sing that song, I will build my life upon your love. It is a what? It's a firm foundation. It's straight out of this text. So we sing it like every other Sunday. It's a good thing we're singing the word of God. And then in verse 18, Paul prays that we may be able to comprehend. Some translations say that we can grasp with all the saints. That's next week's sermon as well, what that means. That we can comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depths of God's love. So Paul says God's love is limitless in every dimension and direction. And he longs for us to get it, to comprehend it, to grasp it. But then look at what he prays in verse 19. Verse 19 is kind of where the passage reaches its culmination. He says, I pray that you will know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Now, did anybody catch the irony there? If you didn't catch the irony, read it again. You got to see this. He says, I pray that you will know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, he prays we will know Jesus' love, but then he says, but Jesus' love is actually something that you can't totally know. It's more than you had the capacity for, but I want you to know it, but you can't, but I want you to, so try. That's what he's saying. Some translations say, he prays we would know God's love that exceeds our understanding. I want you to know something that you can't totally know, but I want you to die trying. So when Paul prays in verse 19 that we would know the love of Christ, he's clearly talking about more than a head knowledge about the love of Jesus. He's talking about an inner experience with the love of Jesus. You see, there's a difference in knowing and knowing. Now, here's how I know that's what he means. Go back to verse 16. As he's building his prayer, he prays, he wants us to, look at this, be strengthened with power where? In your inner being. That's in your heart, in your soul, in your gut. I want you to be strengthened with power in your inner being through the Holy Spirit. So Paul's talking about knowing and experiencing God's love on the inside, so much so that only the Holy Spirit can help us do that. Verse 19, he prays that we will know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Now look at that word know in verse 19. It's a Greek word that is an intimate term referring to a personal encounter. The word in the original language, know, can imply intimacy. A variation of that word is actually used in the Old Testament when Adam knew Eve. So the term know Christ's love, it refers to a relational, experiential knowledge. Not head facts, but fluttering of the heart. Experiential depth. It means feeling, absorbing, being assured of Jesus' love deep in the soul. Friends, you've heard your whole life God loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, you know God loves you, but do you really know God's love? You see the difference? It's not just semantics, it's real. You've heard sermons on God's love, but have you experienced God's love? Those, you know, married people or people in dating relationships can relate to this distinction on some level, can't we? I mean, we'll say, you know my partner loves me, but I don't feel it right now. Right? Anybody been there? Actually, don't raise your hand. Super awkward. Grace Marriage Coaching is this weekend, actually, so I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Hey, we've all been there, right? Right? Annie knows I love her, but I can guarantee you there's plenty of times when she doesn't feel that for me. For sure. You see, so if we don't feel and experience love from our significant other over a long, consistent period of time, the relationship can really go south, can it? You see, it can't just be the exchange of words, I love you. It's got to go deeper than that. The Bible teaches that our life with Jesus should be both cerebral,
and experiential.
Now, let's be real here for a moment. Some of you just got real anxious when I said that. Because for some of us, in particular, those of us maybe from a more reformed tradition like me, that language of experiencing God's love makes us as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. There are two ditches you gotta avoid with this topic. The first is experiential abuse. This is when we hyper-focus on spiritual experience. It's when you go to church or to a Christian concert just chasing an emotional high or a feeling, but it's not rooted in the gospel. It's when we don't filter the spiritual experience through God's word. That's dangerous. It can lead to godless mysticism and heresy. So we must stay away from elevating experiential feelings over the objective truth of God's word. Don't go to that extreme into experiential abuse. But here's the second ditch many of us are more prone towards. It's experiential avoidance. This is when we're so afraid of the experiential abuses we've seen in other churches or traditions that we overcorrect and we're afraid to feel at all. And we think that emotions are worldly or secular. But that's an unbiblical view that can lead to the quenching and the grieving of the Holy Spirit, who is a person who moves among his people in powerful, tangible, experiential ways. The Spirit of God is not an it. He's a person. He feels, he grieves, and he moves not just upon our intellect, but in our hearts. The Holy Spirit longs to stir up our affections, as Jonathan Edwards wrote. But when we stiff arm this and we're so afraid of experience, it leads to cold, dead, lifeless orthodoxy, where we have good doctrine but no joy. And lost people or seekers come in and they would never want what we have. We could be doctrinally as straight as a gun barrel but empty on the inside, and there's no power there. But that is not God's will. Knowing Christ is so much more than head knowledge. Listen, if you're a seeker or newer to the faith, or you've been a Christian for 30 years and you're just like bored and exhausted and like tired of all the... Listen, Christianity is so much more than a list of doctrines and rules. We want to be holy and happy in him. It's not a sin to feel some kind of way about the love of Jesus for you. We want word and spirit. We want principle and power. We want reformation and revival. Who says you can't have exposition and experience? The Bible says, pursue both. So Paul's whole prayer in verse 14 through 21 is dripping and oozing with God's desire for us to experience more of him. Are you spiritually lukewarm this morning? Are you spiritually depleted? Are you here and you're just going through the motions, but you're totally checked out spiritually and emotionally? The love of God reaches as high as the heavens and as deep as the ocean. And there is so much more of Him that He wants us to get. Look at God's desire for us. In verse 19, Paul prays for us to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. But why? Look at the logical argument. Why does he want us to know so deeply this love of Jesus? So that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at the purposeful redundancy Paul uses. He says, be filled with all the fullness. What's his point? Be filled with all the fullness of God. It's like a double filling overdose. How can we even do that, Paul? What's his point? God doesn't just want us to dabble our toes in his love doctrinally. He wants us to be filled with his love experientially. And so Paul gives us this imagery in verse 19 of a fountain overflowing. If Spirit, help us to see this. A fountain overflowing with God's love, like it's water just gushing out and pouring out all over the place. Paul says, I pray you may be filled. Your grandma gives you a big, tall glass in the summer of sweet tea, and you don't have one drink till she's just pouring in more sweet tea, and it just keeps coming. Be filled with all the fullness of God. And that phrase, be filled, means keep on being filled over and over and over and over. This is not a little sprinkle of God's love we're after. It's a filling with all the fullness of God's love. God wants to immerse and saturate his love into our hearts so that we're overflowing in it, soaked in his love like it's rain, so that we're like, hey, God, you got to give me a poncho here. R.A. Torrey was a late 19th century evangelist, and he sought God's face fervently. One day, he writes that he was reading the scriptures and he was praying, seeking God. And he said he was so overwhelmed in that moment with a profound awareness of God's love for him that it broke him and he began to weep uncontrollably. And he said, eventually, I had to ask God to stop and show him no more of his love because he could not bear it. Here's why. It's because God's love has so much to offer. And God, we've just scratched the surface. Back to our text, verse 17 through 19. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the, now look at what Paul does here. What is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge? So just how much does God love us? Like, you can't really get out a measuring tape, can you? I mean, Paul gives imagery, length, width, height, depth. He's saying God's love is limitless in every direction. He speaks first of the length. How long is God's love? Do you remember what 18 weeks ago back in Ephesians 1, Paul told us? He says God chose us, Christian, and what? Loved us when? Before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined you. Before we were born, before the sunshine, before God flung the stars in the sky, before the oceans were filled, before time began, God loved his
people. In love, he predestined us. God is an eternal being, meaning God has no beginning and he has no end, meaning his love has no beginning and his love has no end, meaning it is therefore impossible for God not to love his people. Glory in this if you're a Christian. There has never been a single second throughout all of eternity when God has not loved you. That's long love. But then Paul speaks to the width of God's love in verse 18. And the love of God is so wide, it encompasses all the peoples of the world. This is the last 2 weeks' sermons. Red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, the proud, the jealous, the angry, the murderer, the adulterer, all the sinners and all of the worst of sinners like me, we get swept up in the width of God's love. Bring it on in here, sinners. And then he speaks of the height of his love in verse 18. Psalm 36, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. However high your sin is this morning, the love of Jesus reaches higher. And it is the love of Jesus that will take us all the way on up to heaven one day. And then he speaks in verse 19 of the depth of God's love. God's love is so deep, no matter how far down our sin takes us, the love of Jesus will find us there. Because in Romans 5:8, here's how we know this. God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On the cross, when Jesus died for our sins, his soul was plunged into the deepest realm of the wrath of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? At the cross, Jesus bore the judgment of God. He who knew no sin became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus could have gotten off the cross. He could have called down 10,000 angels to relieve him of the suffering, but Jesus stayed. He stayed on the cross. Why? Because in John 15, Jesus had greater love. Has no one than this, as someone laid down his life for his friends. Friends, if you don't feel the love of God experientially about which we're speaking, and sometimes you won't, many days I don't. Don't rely on the feeling. Go back to the objectivity of the cross of Christ. Nothing screams the love of God louder than Jesus hanging on the cross in our place. This is why at about 12 minutes, we're going to sing how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. That's love. Knowing that, go back to the text, verse 17 and 18. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in this love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love. Now, one last word study, and then we'll land the plane. Verse 18. Look at that word comprehend in verse 18. It's a really fascinating word in the Greek. It can mean to seize with hostile intent, to overtake, to catch, to take down. In that time, they would use that word, comprehend, to describe tackling someone and wrestling them to the ground. It would be used of one army taking over and plunging a whole city. So knowing that, read verse 18 again and see if it adds a little more meaning. Paul's prayer is, we may be able to comprehend, to wrestle, to take to the ground with all the saints. What is the length and width and height and depth of God's love? Here's the point. When Paul prays for us to comprehend God's love, it's not just a basic little understanding of love. It's aggressively pursue the love of God in your heart. Tackle it. Wrestle God's love to the ground. Dive in the scriptures. Read of the love of God over and over. Fervently pursue the love of God in prayer. Plead for it. Beg for it. Pray this prayer. Paul prays over and over again. If you're a diver, God wants you to swim as far as you can into the ocean of God's love so that we can experience it at the deepest level. Go after it. Comprehend it. Don't settle for less. I had to catch my breath for a second, so I'm going to show y'all something cute. Do you remember the first time you experienced true love? Check out this little boy's first experience. Roll that video. I saw that. I was like, I got to find a way to get it in the sermon. Like, even if it doesn't relate, but I found a way for it to relate. I mean, that little boy, I'm sure, had his parents tell him they love him 1,000 times. No doubt he'd heard that. But on that day, when that little girl laid it on him, he experienced love. Didn't he? And God's longing for us is to experience him on a personal, deep level. If you're skeptical of this sermon so far, I'm going to end the sermon by reading you several scriptures showing God's love for you and me to experience his love on the deepest level. In Psalm 16, therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being, head to toe, rejoices. My body also rests securely. In your presence, God, is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. Does that sound like somebody who just sits at church on Sundays and goes through the motions? No, this is a person who has deeply experienced the love and the joy of God. There's pleasure in knowing him. It ought to feel good to know God loves you. Notice, by the way, the whole emphasis of today's text is not about our love for God. It's about his love for us. And guess what? When you know how much he loves you, you will love him in return. But you can't, you gotta get the cart before the horse. We got this. We're trying so hard. Oh God, help me to love you better. Oh God, help me to love you. The reason some of us don't love God well is because we don't know how much he loves us. You can't love unless you know you've been loved. And then in Romans 15, notice how Paul prays all throughout the epistles. May the God of hope fill you. He loves that word fill. I keep thinking of Grandma Stallings and Sweet Tea. He port filling. May the God of hope fill you with what? What does God want you to be filled with today? Not just head knowledge. He wants to fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy isn't something we just believe in. Joy is something we experience. Peter tells his readers in 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see Christ now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Have you known and experienced that inexpressible joy of what it is to be loved by God? Have you had such joy in your heart from knowing God's love that you literally don't have the words to express it? Has the love of God made you speechless? Peter said, we can have that. It's the greatest longing of my heart. When you think to pray for me, pray this for me. More than like sermons and all that, I want this. I'll be honest. I'm prone towards melancholy. I'm prone towards sadness. Joy is hard for me. I have to like fight for joy. It seems like the natural orientation of my heart It's like doom and gloom and sorrow and sad. It's hard for me. And I pray 10,000 times, God, I want this joy. I want to be wrecked by God's love so that even when life is hard and there are tears, like when your mom dies, it's sad, it's terrible, it's awful. But there could still be a joy and a peace that comes from God. Do you have that? Psalm 143, let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust in you. And then in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's experiential language. That's the senses. You see, God doesn't just engage our minds. He engages our taste buds. This is one of the reasons why we take the Lord's Supper. You see, God engages the whole being. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him? Do you enjoy Jesus? Is Jesus sweet to us? Does Jesus make your soul happy? Because we can talk about his love, but have we tasted it? This is Paul's prayer. You got to get God's love from your head to your heart. It's the longest 18 or maybe 12, I don't know how many inches that is. If you're like me, you got a big head, it's like 26 inches to get to the top of this noggin. But let's just call it 14. It's the longest 14 inches in the world from your head to your heart. All right. I know that for some of us this morning, this has been a hard sermon. And we get uncomfortable talking about experience. God have mercy on us. God pity us. God pity me for being reluctant to experience everything the Father has for us. This is why in verse 14, Paul addresses God as Father. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Do you see that? God is not an impersonal deity. God is a Father who feels immensely. He weeps. He rejoices. He sings. He delights. My wife's favorite verse, and it's becoming mine, is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord, your God, is with you. The mighty warrior who saves, he will take great delight in you. That's what happened to me in Oklahoma. He smiled at me. He delighted in me. God was happy with me. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but God will rejoice over you with singing. Can you picture God being so in love with you, he gloats over you? Like he's singing over, because he's happy when he looks at you. This is not a distant God who is bored with us. This is a loving Father who's crazy about his kids. Our Father doesn't just want to stimulate our minds. He wants to consume our hearts with his holy love. Friends, it's one thing to know about his love. It's another thing to know his love. Have you experienced it? Let's bow our heads, if you would. And at this time, don't check out, please. This is important. For all who long to receive this joy, an experience of divine love we've seen in the scriptures, I would love for us to pray as a body corporately, for us to pray together that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Father would shower this love upon us. I'd like to invite again our music team, our ministry team, if they would, to come forward. Okay. If you feel the Holy Spirit has been moving in your heart this morning, and he has welled up in your heart a desire to taste and experience the love of God in a new way, I'd love to be able to pray over you so that by faith we can just receive this love together. Let's try a couple different ways to do this. First, for some of you, you can just slide out of your seat, and I would invite you to, every head bowed, every eye closed, you could just come stand down here in front of the church. Some of you, if you would come on down now, maybe bring a friend with you. Let's do this together in community. He says, I pray that you with all the saints would comprehend the love of God. So would you grab a friend and come down here to the front and let's stand and let us pray over you? I would love that joy of seeing your desire to receive that prayer. Would anyone like to come? Okay, here come some folks. Others, please join them. And then for some of you in the body of Christ, would you come and lay a hand upon the shoulders of these who have come? I would love for everyone down here to have a hand on their shoulder. But then if you're not comfortable coming forward to receive this prayer, but you're like, hey, I want to know his love. I long to experience this love. Would you be so bold as just to stand up in your seat right now? You don't have to walk forward. Would you just stand up? And that is your way of saying, I am opening up my heart for this prayer. Would you just stand up in your seat where you are? And then for those that are standing, would someone around them put a hand on their shoulder as well so that everyone who is standing or coming forward feels the body of Christ around them? And so for those of you who didn't come forward and you're not standing, but you still long to experience the love of God, would you just receive this in your heart? Would you open up your heart to receive this prayer? And together in faith, our Father, we kneel before you. If some of you would take the posture of kneeling out in your seats, as I am at this time, let's kneel before our Father and pray this for our church family. Father, we kneel before you, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. Lord, we pray that you would grant, according to the riches of your glory, that we, those who have come, those who are standing, Lord, those who are seated, but who long for this deep inside, that we would be strengthened with power on the inside through your Holy Spirit, that Jesus would dwell in our hearts through faith. Lord Jesus, we pray that we will be rooted and firmly established in your love from this day forward. Lord, that your love would be the soil out of which our life grows, that your love would be the foundation of our whole life. God, may it be that we comprehend together with all the saints the length of your love, the width of your love, the height and the depth of your love. God, this is our effort to tackle it to the ground, to wrestle with your love. Oh, God, give it to us. May we taste and see the love of God. Holy Spirit, would you come and give us a vision of the smiling Father? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this room. Lord, take your love from our heads to our hearts. Give us faith to believe the gospel that Jesus demonstrated his love, and that while even we were sinners, he died for us. And oh God, may we now know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Lord Jesus, would you take us deeper this morning, further into the depths of your love? Grant it to us, overwhelm us with it. Give us that inexpressible joy Peter spoke of. Oh God, give us joy. Shower us with your kindness. Wreck our hearts with your love. Make us happy in you. Help us to sing with joy. Yes. We see you delighting over us. Zephaniah says, oh God, we want to see your smile. We want to feel your affection. We want to be moved on the inside of our guts to know the love of Christ. So God, all we can do is ask, would you do it for your glory in the name of Christ in the church, in whose name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's sing of this love together. Let's stand together.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.